I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 10 for the message this morning. Hebrews chapter 10. I'd like to begin reading in the 19th verse, and we'll read down through verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 19. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack in front of you there. Feel free to use it. Beginning in verse 19, please. The Bible says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." And verse 24, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is," and evidently still is today. Amen. You can say amen, you're here. "As the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Now, for all of you lay preachers that preach at the jail and at the nursing homes and all the other places where you preach, verse 22, 23, and 24 is a good three-point outline. Let us draw near, number one. Let us hold fast, number two. Let us consider, number three. So you take that and develop it and preach it. But I want to speak to you primarily on verse 24 and 25. But before we get to the message, turn over now. Keep your place here in Hebrews. And let me have you turn over to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. The Gospel of John. Keep your place in Hebrews, but turn over to John, chapter 4. And I want to begin reading in verse 9 or verse 19 of this chapter as well. Reading down through verse 24. You know this passage of Scripture. It's familiar to you. This is the story of the bad Samaritan. You know the story of the good Samaritan. Well, this is the story of the bad Samaritan, the Samaritan woman. And in verse 19, we jump into the middle of the conversation that she has with the Lord. And verse 19 says, "The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." All right, leave your Bible open now to John 4. We'll start here and we'll end up in Hebrews. But let's begin in John 4. And I want to speak to you this morning a message that I'm going to entitle, Worshiping the Lord. Worshiping the Lord. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you so much for our time together this morning. And Lord, I pray that you will bless as we, on this first day of the year, assemble ourselves in church. And Lord, as we open the eternal Word of God and look at its truths, I pray that you will bless today. Lord, I pray that today will be a benchmark, that, Lord, we will establish patterns today that will follow throughout the year. And that, Lord, this will be the greatest year that we've had as a church, and this will be the greatest year as individual Christians that we've ever had. Lord, speak to our hearts this morning. And I pray that you will open our understanding that we might receive the things of the Lord today. Speak to hearts, Father, we pray. We do not want to just come to church. Lord, we want to be here and to hear from heaven. And so I pray that you will speak to our hearts and draw each and every one of us to your side, that, Lord, we may find the grace and strength and help that we need. Lord, just meet the needs of our hearts today and instruct us and teach us on how to be better servants for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may have read about this, or you may remember this. It was on the news. It was in the papers. It was a big to-do. It happened about 12 or 13 years ago, if memory serves me correct. But there was a lady down in New Mexico, and she was cooking dinner for her family one evening, and she was frying tortilla shells in a skillet. And she took the spatula, and she went under one of the shells that she was cooking, and she just lifted it out and put it on a plate, turning it upside down and dropping it on a plate. When she pulled the spatula away, her attention was directed towards the tortilla, and she looked down at it and thought that the burn mark that the skillet made on the tortilla resembled the face of Jesus. And she immediately called for her family to come in, and the family all looked at it, and they all agreed that the burn mark on the shell looked like the face of Jesus. So she called her neighbors in, and her neighbors all came in, and they all stood and looked at it, and they all agreed that the tortilla burn mark sure looked like the face of Jesus. She then took that tortilla shell down to her priest, and the priest agreed that it sure enough looked like the face of Jesus on the tortilla shell. So then he blessed it, and she took it home, built a shrine for it, charged $3 to everybody that come by and look at it. And after about a month, some 8,000 people had filed past to look at this tortilla shell and to receive the blessings of being in the presence of a blessed tortilla shell that had the face of Jesus burnt on it. They figured it was a sign and an omen from God. And everyone agreed that the shell looked like the face of Jesus, except for one reporter who said that to him it looked like former boxing champion Leon Spinks. But the point of the matter is, people will worship anything. I want you to understand that people, I told you that illustration to get you to see the point that people will worship anything. Isn't it amazing the way the devil has distorted and distracted the biblical method of worship? We have it so clearly stated here in the passage of Scripture that I read for you out of John 4, that only God is to be worshipped. We are not to worship men. We are not to worship celebrities. We are not to worship football players or basketball players. We are to worship God. We have it clearly stated in the Word of God. And yet it seems that everything else is worshipped under the sun, and God is completely left out. Now, I think there's a great misunderstanding in this area of worship. You will look at your Bible here. The last part of verse 23, it says that a true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And I want you to look at this next phrase. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. The Lord wants us to worship Him. And we have such a distorted view of what worship really is. We have such a misunderstanding about it. And it only stands to reason. I mean, here the Father is wanting us to worship Him, so naturally the devil is going to come along and distort what worship really is and make it something other than what God intends it to be. We have a tendency to have negative thoughts when we hear the word worship. When we hear the word worship, there are some things that pop into our minds. One of the things that pops into our minds is formalism. We think of formalism. We think of dryness. We think of, shh, shh, we're worshiping. Our whole concept is wrong. We think of quietness. We think of being dignified. But those words are just exactly what the devil wants you to think. We need to learn how to worship God, and not just on Sunday when we gather here for church, but every single day of our lives. The Bible here says the Father seeketh such to worship Him. The Lord wants us to worship. So what is worship? Well, I looked up the word, and here's what the word means. It is the act of showing reverence, homage, adoration, and praise to an object. True Bible worship is simply directing our praise, adoration, respect, love, and reverence towards God. That's what worship is all about. Now, let me give you just a couple of things about worshiping the Lord this morning. I want you to follow me. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. We're going to start here, and I'm going to lay a principle down in John 4. And then I'm going to turn to Hebrews, and I'm going to show you how that principle applies and how it works with the church. So let's begin here in John 4. And let me make this statement, and here it is. Now listen very carefully. We are saved to worship. We are saved to worship. The foundation upon which true worship is based is redemption. God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus redeems us so that we can become worshipers of God. That's what is implied here in the 23rd verse. Matter of fact, it's not implied, it's clearly stated. The Father seeketh such to worship Him. You remember Luke 19:10? This is a verse that is probably the key verse in the Gospel of Luke. And Luke 19:10 says this, "For the Son of Man is come to what? Seek and to save that which was lost." The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. And then in John 4 and verse 23, our text verse, this verse explains the reason or the purpose for Christ seeking us. "For the Father seeketh such to worship Him." Now, the Father, God the Father, sent Himself in the form of His Son. God the Father sent His Son to seek and to save for the specific purpose of producing worshiping people. Now, folks, listen very carefully. The primary reason that we are saved is not to escape hell. Now, that's a good benefit. Would you not agree? But it's not the primary reason that we're saved. If the only reason that God saved you was to keep you out of hell, doesn't it stand to reason that the very minute you got saved, God would kill you and then take you on to heaven? But God doesn't do that. He saves us and then He leaves us here. And what is the purpose for leaving us here? Verse 23, "For the Father seeketh such to worship Him." The primary reason that we are saved is not just so you and I, as Christians, can enjoy God's blessings. Now, again, that's a good benefit, is it not? Thank the Lord for all of His benefits. I mean, just thank God for all the things that the Lord provides and the blessings that are ours. But that's not the primary reason that God saves us. The primary reason that we are saved is not just so we can receive a better life. As a matter of fact, the supreme motive in our redemption is not that we will receive anything. The primary reason for our redemption is so now, as believers, you and I can worship the God of heaven. God saves us so that we can worship Him. Now, how many times does the Bible speak of things that we, as believers, are supposed to do? Like winning souls, like preaching the Bible, like living righteous lives, and on and on and on. And then the Word of God, after it commands us to win souls or to preach or whatever, it will then say, "For His name's sake." So our salvation is first of all for God's benefit, that He may get what He deserves. And folks, I'm here today to tell you that God deserves to be worshipped. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that there's no place for getting a blessing in salvation. Of course there is. I'm just simply saying that that's not the primary reason that God saves you. I'm not saying that there's no place for rejoicing or for being thrilled at what God does in your life. I'm not saying that at all. Of course there is. But the blessings that we receive are additional benefits and not the ultimate purpose. Now, what did the Lord Jesus say? In Matthew 6:33, He made this statement, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I mean, folks, from the beginning to the end, man was created to worship and to glorify God. But you know, this is what's wrong with most of our churches today across this country. This is what's wrong with our churches. We have lowered the purpose for going to church from where it should be, and we've taken the emphasis off of where it should be, and we put it on ourselves. Let me explain what I mean. Most churches today, it's just like they go out and take a big blue light and stick it on top of the church and say, "Come to our church. We got the blue light special going here, and we can do for you what other churches can't." My friend, I want you to understand that church should not be "what are you going to do for me, preacher?" Church ought to be, "God, what can I do for you?" You see, we've got the emphasis on the wrong syllable. You know what I'm saying? We've got things backward. I mean, church, we shop for a church. We go shopping for a church. And we find one that meets our particular interests or our particular needs. Folks, listen, you ought to get on your knees and say, "Lord, where do you want me? I mean, Lord, where am I to be in church?" And then get in that church and give worship and praise and glory to God. Don't come to church like a shopper. Come to church like you've got the everything to give, instead of coming and just picking and choosing what you want. But we've got it all backwards. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." In Isaiah 43 and verse 7, the Bible tells us that God created us for His glory, not for our own. Not for our own. I was asked this week by some folks down in West, "Did you have church Sunday?" Well, of course we had church Sunday. "Well, it was Christmas, you know." I know it was Christmas. But you know why? All over America, churches closed up. You saw the headlines. They made sure it was in the headlines. The mega churches not having services on Christmas. And they made a big to-do about that. And I think they should have. Shame on anybody that didn't have church on Sunday. I believe that with all my heart. But why didn't they have church? I tell you why. Because church has been reduced to me instead of being directed towards God. It is what are you going to do for me? Folks, listen, if we ever get to the place where we are dependent upon a man, or we are dependent upon a group of men, or we are dependent upon some special music, or we are dependent upon what the choir does, if we ever get to the place where our focus is, "What are you going to do for me?" we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Our goal ought to be to come to church and to give God the worship and praise and glory and honor. I mean, enter into the spirit of the service and say, "Okay, Lord, here I am, and I'm going to direct my focus towards you. I'm not just going to come to church with a basket in my arm and pick and choose what I want. I'm going to come to church and say, 'Lord, here am I, and I'm directing my focus at you.'" You keep reading the Bible, and you'll notice in the end of history, Revelation closes with every knee bowed and every tongue confessing, praising, worshiping, giving God what is rightfully His. Now, everybody understand that? Everybody got that point? All right, now, I'm going to shift gears. I'm going to go just a little bit, basically down the same road. Just go walk on the side of the road, all right? Let me give you the second thing I want you to see. Go back over to Hebrews 10 now, and let me make a second point. And here it is. Number two, we worship in the temple. You say, what? We worship in the temple. Now, lest you misunderstand what I'm saying, Paul said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? We worship. Everybody thinks, oh, we go to church and we worship God. Let me tell you, nowhere in this Bible does it say you're to go to church and worship God. You worship God in your body. You worship God on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday. And let me ask you, where do you go on Sunday? Church. So you worship God on Sunday as well. But it's not just at the church that you worship God. You see, we misunderstand the concept. Thank God for the church. But folks, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Jesus meant when he was explaining to that woman in John 4. He said, the day will come, and now is, when neither in Jerusalem nor here in Mount Gerizim will you worship God. But you'll worship God wherever you are. You see, we can't get on an airplane and fly over to Israel and go to the temple in Jerusalem and worship God every Sunday. I wouldn't mind that, would you? But we can't do that. So where do we go? We go to the local church. We go to the church, the open door, where we attend. And we worship God in spirit and in truth. But folks, where we are missing the mark is we think that Sunday and coming to church is the only place we're supposed to worship. No, you worship God on Monday morning when the clothesline breaks, just as much as you do on Sunday when we're gathered in church. You worship God on Monday morning when the car won't start, just like you worship God on Sunday when you come to church. Our focus is so out of whack. So that's what Jesus meant, neither in Jerusalem nor in Gerizim. So the question becomes, where does the church fit into this picture? If we're to worship God in our bodies, where does the church fit into this picture? And that's what Paul is dealing with here in this passage of Scripture. I want you to look at verse 24. He said, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, how do you do that? Well, in verse 25, here's how you do it. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. How does the church fit into God's plan, into God's program? Well, you see, folks, the church is the visible manifestation or expression of the body of Christ. In verse 24 and 25, we are to assemble and to stimulate one another to love and to do good works. Why come to church? Well, the answer really is simple. Because you need the stimulation that we collectively can give you, and then we need the stimulation that we can get from you to live for God and worship Him. Folks, let me tell you, we push for big days. We try to have, a couple times a year, we try to have big days. We have a spring revival or a fall conference of some kind. And we promote those and we push those. And we talk about it in the bulletin and make announcements from the pulpit. What are we trying to do? We're trying to get as many people as we possibly can to come. You know why? Because there is stimulation that is produced by all of us being here. Now, I mean, let's just be real about it. If we had a Sunday and 13 people showed up, it would be kind of depressing, would it not? It would be a little discouraging. I was really worried about last Sunday. Now, I think you were too, weren't you? Weren't you a little worried about last Sunday? And I was a little worried. I thought, what if nobody shows up? That has been a fear of mine. How many years now have I been in the ministry? 28, 29 years? I've been pastoring. I know I don't look that old, and you're so kind and gracious to say that. I appreciate that. But 29 years I've been preaching, pastoring churches. And it has always been a fear in the back of my mind that one Sunday I'd go to church and nobody would show up. And last Sunday I thought, well, you know, here it is, Christmas Day. I wonder if anybody's going to be here. And lo and behold, you showed up. I was so thankful. I was just so thankful. But what if we came to church and four people showed up? Well, it would be difficult. It would be a rough service. And whereas if you came to church and the building is full, we stimulate one another. And that's what he's saying. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. How do you do that? How do you consider one another? How do you provoke one another to good works and to love and to do the right thing? You do that by not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Folks, there is a God in heaven who wants our praise, who wants us to worship Him, who wants us to adore Him, who wants us to love Him. Our glory and our honor is directed towards Him, but He knows that there is an evil enemy, the devil, who wants to destroy us, who wants to keep us from giving to God what He deserves. And so He wants us as Christians to get together as often as we can, as often as we do, as a body of believers. And once we're together, to draw near to Him, to praise Him, to worship Him, and to, as I say so often, and now I hope you understand what I mean, to enter into the spirit of the service and not just sit there and be oblivious to everything that's going on. And as we're doing that, we're stimulating one another. We're motivating one another. We're giving one another the energy and the strength and the encouragement to keep on keeping on for another week. That's why I believe when you come to church and Pastor Allen gets up and says, turn to hymn so-and-so, you ought to grab that hymn book and sing that song. You say, but Pastor, when I start singing in the shower, the water cuts off. I mean, if I sing in the shower, every dog in the neighborhood is howling. Well, my friend, God did not tell you to sing beautifully. He told you to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You ought to sing. You say, but Pastor, I'll deafen everybody around me. Let her rip. Let her rip. Of course, you may be the only one sitting in that section before the day's over, but let her rip. I mean, folks, I understand that there are some folks that take medication. I understand it gets a little warm in here sometimes, like it is right now. I understand that some of you stayed up late last night and you watched the new year come in. I understand that. Some of you are taking medicine. I know that the medicine bothers you when you sit down and you're quiet. All of a sudden you drift off. And I also know that sometimes I can get boring. Dry as cracker juice. I realize that. I understand that. But let me tell you something, folks. When you come into the church, you ought to come in with a heart attitude and with a mindset that says, I'm going to get something today so that I can give something to God. I mean, focus. Pay attention. You wouldn't go to sleep at a football game, would you? Huh? I mean, can you're down at Bristol watching the race, or over at Dover watching the race, and you're sitting up there watching it, and all of a sudden they look over at you and... Your sound? No! Not. I mean, good night, you paid $200 for those tickets. It didn't cost you a thing to get in here this morning. And that race is going to be over, and nobody but Linda's going to remember who won the race anyway. But what we're doing here this morning is going to last for eternity, my friend. And man, we ought to get excited about coming to church and hearing from God and getting something that's going to make a difference in our lives. Oh, how we need to be in God's house. God wants us to worship Him. But I want you to know, it serves a twofold purpose. It serves a twofold purpose. Number one, we do what we're supposed to be doing. We're worshiping God. But number two, it stimulates us. And there's where the church comes into play. You see, folks, it's easy to worship God on Sunday morning when everybody else is doing it. Right? I mean, it's easy. But on Monday morning, when it's not quite so easy when you're the only Christian on the job. And so, the more often we're in church, and not just coming to be coming, but coming to get something and to give something, the more often we're in the house of God, then the more strength and the stronger we'll be when we're not in church. So the church is like our salvation. It's for God's glory. But when it performs right, it's also a great help to us. This morning after the early service, after the 8:30 service, I had a fella come up to me who's been here about a year and a half now, and his life is just completely transformed. The Lord has just turned his life completely around. Oh, it's so wonderful. And they were up in the balcony, and he came down, came through that door back there, and I saw him come in. I saw the tears running down his cheeks. He walked up to me and he said, "Preacher, thank you." I said, "Thank me?" He said, "Yeah, thank you." I said, "Brother, I'm just an instrument. I'm just a tool." I said, "That's what I'm preaching about this morning. Won't you just put your focus right up there where it belongs and thank him?" Amen. Amen. Folks, giving praise, giving adoration, giving glory. Oh, I hope you see the principle this morning. Worshiping the Lord. Worshiping the Lord. Our focus, our direction needs to be towards Him. It's so easy to come to church and just go through the motions of church. I mean, you stand when you're supposed to stand. You sit when you're supposed to sit. And, you know, we start at 11 o'clock sharp, quit at 12 o'clock dull. I mean, you know, that's the way it works. And it ought not be that way. I mean, we ought to come through the doors and realize that, man, this is an opportunity for God to teach me something, for me to get some strength, for me to get stimulated, but it's also an opportunity for me to come and to direct my adoration and my praise and my worship to the God who has sustained me for another week. Oh, what a God we serve. What a wonderful Savior we have. My friends, the Lord wants us to worship Him. I'm trying to get you to see that we're not to miss the purpose for which God saved our souls. We're not to miss that purpose. And I'm begging you to beg the Lord to walk with Him, and that you'll make 2006 a year where you're going to get to know your God even better than you ever have before. Folks, let me challenge you just. Get in your Bible this year. I mean, just make up your mind. You're going to read the Word of God this year. Just make up your mind. My dad was here last week or 2 weeks ago, and he said, I want to get you a Christmas gift. He said, "What do you want?" And I said, "Well, you could get me the new TaylorMade 700 series golf clubs." He said, "No, seriously, what do you want?" I said, "Well, you asked. I told you what I wanted." The driver itself is $450, so that was out. And so I said, "I don't know, Dad." He said, "Do you need a suit?" And I said, "Well, no, I don't really." He said, "Well, do you need shirts and ties?" I said, "No, I don't need shirts and ties." He said, well, "What do you need?" I said, "Dad, I don't need anything. That's the point. I just don't need anything." And he said, "Well, you got to come up with something." I said, "All right, let me think on it." So I thought on it and thought on it and thought on it. Well, he was leaving on Tuesday morning, and here it was Monday afternoon. So he said, "What do you want?" And I said, "Dad, I said, here's what I want. I said, buy me the Bible on CD. The Bible on CD." You say, "Well, you got a Bible." "I know, but I can't read it while I'm going down the road in the car." See what I'm saying? And I'm in the car a lot. I'm in the car a lot. And so I thought, you know, here'd be a good thing. I could just put one of those CDs I got one of those six CD things, you know, those changers. You pull it out and stick six of them in there and put it back in. And it just runs continuously. It goes from one. And when those six are done, take out those six, put six more in. And I can just listen to the Bible while I'm driving. Amen. I thought that's a good gift. That's a practical gift. And that's something that'll help me tremendously. You can't get too much of God's Word in your head. Folks, just make up your mind that this year is going to be a year where you give God what He deserves. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Bow your heads with me, please. Mercy. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, open the understanding of our hearts that we might see this point and see this truth. Father, I pray that you will help us to just realize that we've been saved for a reason. We've been saved and left on this earth for a reason. There's a purpose for us being here. And Lord, I pray that every one of us will search our hearts this morning. Father, you've been so good. You have blessed us beyond our comprehension. But Lord, the Father seeketh such to worship Him. May we turn our focus and our praise and our adoration and our love towards you for your amazing grace and your wonderful gift of salvation. Father, speak to hearts this morning, I pray, in Christ's name. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around for just a moment. How many of you here today will say, Pastor, God's speaking to my heart this morning. I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. There's no doubt about it. But I just haven't been living for the Lord like I should. I have not been giving Him the praise and the glory and the adoration with my life. I have not been worshiping the Lord like I should. And Pastor, pray for me. God's speaking to my heart today. Would you raise your hand and let's pray together about this. All over this building, raise your hand. Amen. God bless you, folks. Many, many hands. God bless you. And I am going to pray and ask God to bless and help us. You may put them down. Let me ask this question. Maybe you're here today and you're not sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven. You say, Preacher, if I died right now, I just don't know for sure that I'd go to heaven. But I'm concerned about my soul. I know I need to be saved. I know I need the Lord. Pastor, would you pray for me this morning? Would you slip your hand up, dear friend? Let me pray and ask God to help you. I'll not embarrass you, I promise. But I will pray for you and ask God to help you. Could I do that? Just lift your hand right now. Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved, but I know I need to be saved. Pray for me. Is there anybody like that this morning? Just lift your hand and hold it up. All right, thank you. Now, our Father, we give you praise and glory for your wonderful book. Lord, we thank you that you gave us the roadmap called the Bible. And that roadmap shows us the way to Christ, the way to fellowship with you. And Lord, we're thankful that you have provided instruction in this manual. You've given us direction on how to live a life that's pleasing and honoring to Christ and to our Heavenly Father. And Lord, I pray now that you'll help us to take what we've learned this morning and to appropriate it and use it. Lord, help us not just to go through the motions of being a Christian, but Lord, to concentrate and realize that you seek for us to worship you. Lord, you sent your Son so that we could be saved, so that we now as believers could worship you and give you the praise and glory that you deserve. And Lord, I pray you'll bless. Many, many hands were raised this morning, and young and middle-aged and elderly. Lord, I pray that you will just touch the hearts of every one of us, and may we determine, may we purpose that this year we're going to give our very best to the things of God. And Lord, we're going to be faithful to church, and we're going to grow, and we're going to stimulate others and be stimulated by others to good works and to love and to have the right kind of heart as we serve. So, Father, bless us together now. Give us, I pray, your grace and your goodness, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.